Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to start this morning by going to Matthew chapter 28. Amen. I don't have a Mother's Day message, so I would if God had given it to me. You know, but, you know, unless he does, and I don't want to do that. I heard that one time years ago when I first started in the ministry. I was on the radio. A guy came, I don't know if he was before me or after me, and he preached a Mother's Day message, bless his heart. He used mother. He has an acronym, M for the many things she does, O for the oftentimes I see her smile, T for the terrific ways she has. You know, I just thought, I'm never going to do that. Praise God. I'll just preach the word. How about that? Yeah. And if the Lord wants to talk about mom, we'll talk about mom, all right? I honor mothers, amen? They have a hard job, and God bless them, amen. But this morning, I want you to go to Matthew 28. I'm going to read verse 18 through 20 here. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came, he spake unto them, his disciples. He said, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." So the go ye means he delegated the authority to us. Right. "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you. I'm with you as you go, always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that definitely wasn't me. I didn't do that. All right. For those that are watching, it was a loud noise. Amen. But everybody's okay. And we're going on. Amen. What I want to talk about this morning is found in verse 19, where Jesus said to us, "Go ye therefore," and the King James Version says, "teach all nations." But New King James says, "make disciples of all nations," because the word "teach" there literally means to become a pupil. It means to disciple. Listen to this. It means to enroll as a scholar. The word "disciple" itself means a learner or a pupil. So what I'm going to talk to you this morning is I'm going to ask you a question, and only you can answer it. There's no condemnation in what I'm asking, but we have to, I mean, the Bible says to examine ourselves, right? Not examine our brother, our sister, but examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith and see if everything's okay. My question this morning is, are you a disciple? Are you a disciple? Now, I have, this helped me clear up a lot of things in my ministry, in dealing with people and seeing people and understanding people. I have learned, and I'm going to show you some more scripture to prove this to you out of the Bible. I have learned there's a difference between a believer and a disciple. There's a difference. You could be a believer going to heaven, but not be a disciple. A disciple is somebody who takes it a notch higher, you could say. In other words, it's somebody who is committed to be a follower of Jesus, to be a learner from Jesus, and I like that, to enroll as a scholar. They become a pupil. Remember there was a show, I think the name of it was Kung Fu. Maybe that wasn't it. But where there was the master and grasshopper. Is that Kung Fu?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, That in the Orient, that is a real thing, where especially the martial arts, where you have the master and then you got the pupil. And the pupil is just supposed to learn, amen? And everything the master does is yes, sir. And so, you know, Jesus is our master. He's our teacher. The old King James uses the word master for him, and it does mean teacher. And some translations say teacher. In fact, most modern translation will say teacher. I still love the word master because he was a master at what he did. Hallelujah. He was not just a teacher, he was a master at it. He had mastered it. And so there's people that have mastered certain things, and you can become a student, you become a pupil of them, and you can learn. The early church understood this. Next chapter 2, verse 42, it says that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, and fellowship, breaking of bread. Fellowship means coming together as believers, breaking of bread and prayers. So they continued steadfastly. They were disciples. This has helped me understand some things, and I want to talk to you about them. But before I do, I want to go to John chapter 8, because I want to read there. And kind of, these two kind of be a foundation scripture. We may look at some other scriptures, but these two will be a foundation scripture. So Jesus didn't tell us to go into all the world and make converts. He said, make disciples. You know, when I first got saved, the goal was to get as many people to pray what we call the sinner's prayer with you as you possibly could. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. But I think we have to realize that not everybody that prays it actually means it. Sometimes they just want to get rid of you. But you are going to get some. And if you get one out of 1,000, that's not bad. You got one saved, and one soul from hell is worth it, right? But you know, you would pray it with people, and some of them they would change, and some of them they wouldn't change, and they never went any further. And so it seemed like some, in those days, and maybe with some churches, it was just seeing how many you could get to pray that prayer. You could come back and say, we got 25 saved tonight. Really? Really? Hope you did, but maybe not. Some of them just got rid of you. And then there are people that prayed the prayer and meant it and gave their life to the Lord and they're going to heaven, but they never seem to go any further. They never seem to progress. And it wasn't until I learned this, that there is a difference between a believer and a disciple, and not all believers are disciples. Not all of them are. There's some that go a little bit farther. Look what Jesus said here. Come on, are you with me now? Because I may say some strong stuff. I'm going to kind of watch it that I don't get out of line here. I don't want to say anything the Holy Ghost doesn't want me to say. But we may be a little strong this morning. So, happy Mother's Day. All right, look at this. John 8, verse 30. And this is Jesus here. It says, as Jesus spake these words, look at this. Many believed on him. How many believed on him? Many believed on him. Amen. So these are believers, right? Then said Jesus to those Jews, which what? Believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus is saying here to those that believe on him, there's more. You believe on me, but if you continue in my word, you can become my disciples. Indeed. Indeed's a compound word. Break it up. Indeed. You will indeed be Christ's disciples. And so, I don't know about you, but sometimes Christians do things I don't understand. It doesn't register with me. I will hear Christians use words I don't use. I will see Christians do things I don't do. I will see Christians vote for people I don't vote for because of what they support. Somebody says, are you a Democrat or a Republican? I'm a believer. I vote my faith. Y'all with me? So, if that offends you, I'm sorry, but I'm not, you know, I'm registered as one because I believe there's one party that aligns more with my faith. But I'm not committed to anybody. I'm committed to the Word. Y'all following me? So, it's like, how can you do those things? How can you support those things and you're a Christian? Now, I'm not their judge, but I come to realize they're not. Some of those aren't disciples. Because when you become a disciple, you can't do those things. When you become a disciple, you're a follower of Christ, and what He values, you value. Where He says, where I am, that's where my servant will be. He'll be right where I'm at on things. And so I just learned, you know, they may be going to heaven. They may be saved, but they aren't a disciple. Because a disciple would know better. Amen. You know, I heard a guy talking about, he was a mixed martial arts guy, you know, and he talked about some of the things they would do to you, you know, knock you off your feet and stuff like that, because you thought you were doing good till the master shows up. Amen. And then you find out you don't know as much as you thought you know. Well, how many know? The Bible, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his master. But he did say, this is John, I think, Luke 6:40, maybe it is, where he said, a disciple can be as his master. I mean, that's our goal, right? To be like Christ. You know, God gave us the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to bring us into Christ-likeness. How many people don't even go to church? Christians don't go to church. They're not being disciples. Well, I can do it on my own. That's not what the master said. The master, Jesus, gave gifts to the church. He gave us the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher for the perfecting of the saints, for the equipping of the saints, we could say, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into maturity. And that we all, the Bible says, grow up into Him in all things. So I see Christians say, I don't need church. No, not to go to heaven. Maybe. But you need it if you're going to be a disciple. If you ain't going to say amen, I'm going to get stronger. There's a lot of things I could say to get stronger. But I'm not mad at anybody. I hope you don't think I'm mad. Am I coming across mad? Am I coming across mean, angry? Like, no, I'm just making a point that we got to examine ourselves. Are we just going to heaven or are we disciples? I want to be a disciple. Why? Because it pays fruit in this life and the life to come. Amen. So are you, see, notice what he said. He said, I love this, verse 32. He said, if you're a disciple, you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. That answered a lot of questions for me. How many won't be free? See, believers are going to heaven. That's great. Those that believe on Him going to heaven. But disciples are going to get free. What do you mean by that? Well, it answered a lot of questions for me. Why, you know, I grew up in the 60s and the 70s. And really in the 70s, it was just a decade for me, for most of it, not all of it, for most of it, of just doing all the drugs I could do. You know, that's just the way it was in those days. How many are old enough to remember that? One person. Praise the Lord. I'm no longer the youngest person in the church. I started out here at 35, but things have changed. All right? I remember those days. That's the way I lived. I lived a life. I wasn't, you know, the hippie movement. I didn't consider myself a hippie. I had the long hair. I did the drugs. I smoked the pot. But I wasn't traveling the country in a Volkswagen van saying, you know, love, not war, peace, not hate. I was still like, if you mess with the U.S., we'll blow you up. So I hadn't embraced that. And so, you know, but I grew up with that. I continued on that lifestyle for a number of years. But I got born again on December 20th of 1981. And God is my witness. I'm standing in the church house. I'm standing before God. Since 1981, I have never taken any more drugs. Amen. I haven't drank any alcohol since 1981. I haven't even smoked a cigarette since 1981. When I met Jesus, I got free indeed. And I was studying on that. Why is it that happened? And I'm going to tell you why it is. Because when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I just didn't believe on Him. I made a determination I was going to follow Him. I was going to be a disciple. I mean, my sister bought me my first Bible. I got born again, she bought me a Bible. She wasn't even saved herself, but she bought me a Bible. And I began to devour that Bible. I began to devour books. I began to, in those days, cassette tapes. I began to devour. I wanted to know everything I could know about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, about my covenant that I had with God. And I began to devour it, and I got free. Just like Jesus said, if you continue my word, you will know the truth and it'll make you free. I got free. I'm not bragging on me. I didn't do it. And I thought, why is it that some people don't get this? And I've learned. First of all, discipleship's a heart thing. It starts in the heart, right? The heart will lead to actions. It's like, I want to say this. Yes, I got saved because I thought the Lord was coming back and he was dealing with me too, to give my life to Him. But I just felt like the Lord was coming back anytime. I need to get right. I need to get ready for the rapture of the church. I'd heard about it. But once I got saved, once I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I forsook all my old ways. Come on, y'all listen to me this morning. I forsook all. I was a rock and roller to the core. Listen. I had the albums to prove it. We had albums. You know, those things come back. I don't know why we ever got rid of ours. You know, the 78s, the big albums, they're back now. And, you know, because, you know, I traveled in my vehicle. I had 8-tracks. I remember those. And I think I had about, I don't remember the number, maybe 250 of them. I had built me a big old case, set it in my back seat with all of them in there, you know. Had all of that in there, you know. Some of those guys are born again. How many know that? Yeah. Right? They are now. They weren't then, but they are now. Oh, yeah, man, several of those, some of them, about the whole band got saved and got born again, you know what I'm saying? Amen. And tell you a funny story. A friend of mine told me. There used to be a band called Black Oak, Arkansas. Anybody remember that? Black Oak, Arkansas. Well, I think he's either lead guitarist or lead singer. Harvey Jett. Harvey Jett got born again and started hanging around with Charles Capps. You remember Charles? How many remember Charles Capps? Charles Capps made a quality decision that his hair would never get over that tall. I remember that. He always, the same length. I don't know if he cut it every morning or what. But one time in the service, Charles is there and Harvey's there. And he has Harvey stand up. Hey, Harvey, stand up. Harvey stands up and he says, can you believe that God would connect a guy with that much hair to me? But a friend of mine, he knew Harvey, and they were on the mission field down in Mexico. And he told me, he said, Harvey's down there and he's trying to pronounce these words. These Spanish words, you know, and they're saying you pronounce the J's like what with an H. Harvey, oh okay, you pronounce the A's with the J's, the J's with as an H. Okay, got it. So they said, when are you coming back? He said, I'll be back either in Hoon or Halai. That's a true story. Hoon or Halai. Well. That's that. I live that lifestyle. but I've decided to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Man, I got free. Hallelujah. You know, I took all those, what I was going to tell you, I took all those 8-tracks. I'm talking about the week I got born again. I got born again on a Sunday night. I don't know whether it was Monday or when it was. I took them all out and burnt them. I burnt them. Just, it was like a burnt offering going up to God. I'm like, I'm trashing this part of my life. I'm getting rid of it. Some of y'all, you're kind of, you know, you say, well, I don't got rid of all mine yet. I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you what I did. I'm turning a new leaf. These guys are not speaking into my life anymore. I'm going to listen to gospel music. Amen. I didn't know there was any such thing as, it was just coming around, called contemporary Christian music. How many remember the beginning days of Greg Norman, whatever his name was, and second chapter of Acts, Petra, Keith Green was a fabulous one. You know, that they were coming out. I didn't know those people existed. They weren't my world. I remember a guy from church, a young guy about my age, he come to pick me up one night, and I got in the vehicle with him, and he turned that on. I liked that, climbed out of there. I'm like, I am not listening to rock music. I had to be explained that this is Christian people here. I thought, man, I burnt my bridges. Maybe you think I'm radical, but I'm a disciple. I got blessed. My life got blessed. God began to bless me. Amen. Hallelujah. He set me free. Hallelujah. But disciples will be free, everybody. Come on now. Disciples will be free. The Bible talks about in Revelation, says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. What does that mean? They were committed people. They were willing to die for those things. Amen. They were disciples. Look what John said. Let's go to John 15. Come on, y'all with me this morning? He said, wow, Pastor, what a Mother's Day message. Well, let's thank God your mom's not here. My mom would have loved it. Amen. John 15, go there, verse 7. The Bible says, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Look at this. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. God wants us to bear fruit. How many know that? Much fruit. But it's the disciples that are going to bear the fruit. They're going to bear much fruit. It's just hard to explain. You know, you can be born again and just live like Paul told the church at Corinth. He said, you're carnal. And now listen to what he said. And walk as mere men. Walk as mere men. You think, just like in the natural, you think, well, how do you walk as anything else but a mere man? I am a man. No, see, we can walk as supernatural people. And it's such a good life. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. You know, people say, well, you know, I just all caught up in the natural. Well, you can be a Christian and be all caught up in the natural because the church at Corinth, he called them carnal, but they're going to heaven. But there's so much that they're missing. Right. So much of the blessing of God that you're missing. Yep. So much of the peace, the favor. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. The protection, right. The healing, the deliverance. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. See, disciples that follow Christ, they know, I got something going for me just beside what's going on in the natural, see. I'm not just limited to good old Doc next door. I got a heavenly physician. I mean, I'm not living to the bank. I've got a supplier, hallelujah. Amen. I don't need a psychiatrist. I've got the joy of the Lord. Amen. So, disciples get made free. Disciples get made free. And God wants us to bear much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. Now, I want to show you something. I want to look at maybe a couple more things, if you can take it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Go there, 1 Peter chapter 2. I know we're looking at some scripture this morning. But I want to challenge you. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not saying anybody's not, but I'm just simply saying, examine yourself. Are you a disciple? Are you a follower of Christ? Is he first in your life? Y'all listening to me? See, I made a determination that I don't care how much I want something. If it's not God's will for my life, I'm getting rid of it. No matter what it is. It's going. Remember Jesus said that he talked about this. He talked about plucking out your eye, cutting off your arm if it offends you, right? Now, he wasn't literally talking about physically doing that. He said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out, okay? Well, how many of you still got a left eye, right? Yeah. So he's making an analogy here. He's simply saying, some of the things that you have to do to follow me will be like that. It'll be a real radical decision, right? Did you know, there's a lot of people that think you and I are radical. Some of your relatives think you're radical. But yet, we aren't radical enough. Right. Not according to Jesus. Right. Right? I mean, to them, maybe, you know, there are Christians that will come to this church. They would never stay here because of the way I preach. It's too radical for them. They wouldn't do it. Because sometimes never heard it. They've never heard real Bible gospel preaching. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. Maybe they've heard enough to get saved on, but they haven't heard enough to get free on. Right. Amen. Right. Yes. Oh, yeah, there's been people that have said before to other ministers and all, well, I'm not coming to your church because, you know, I'd have to live right. Really, a pastor said a guy left his church. He said, I'm going back where I came from. I have to live right if I live here. That's the place you need to be. That's like going to the doctor and say, I'm not coming here because if I keep coming here, I'm going to get well. I mean, you know, those that are sick need, when Jesus said, they need a physician, right? So when people just don't think that. They get, you know, people when they get around religious things, they get dumb sometimes. Yeah. Really? They do. It's like, I can't go to the healing meeting, I'm sick. Does that anyway make any sense to you? No. I can't come to the healing meeting tonight, I'm sick. No. It's a healing meeting. I can't go to the doctor, I'm sick. See, that just reveals where they're at. Come on, are y'all with me? Yeah. Listen, I've been in church when I didn't feel well. Oh, yeah. I don't go around telling everybody about it. But you know, I've been there and I'm like, man, I need to be at home. No, I need to be in the house of God where the anointing is at. Right. I've come to church to preach before and I wasn't feeling well. The time I got done, I was well because of that anointing. So I know where my medicine is at. You know, you know what the Bible said at Mark chapter 2, where the scripture says, do you not know that where they went when they had need to the house of God? Yeah. I know where to go when I have a need. Right. Hallelujah. Right. To the house of God, praise God. So I'm going to be in the house of God. So you, anyway, I don't remember where I was going. Y'all got me messed up here.
Me, house of God.
Anyway, did you find 1 Peter?
Yeah.
All right, that's good enough. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look with me. Just one verse, verse 2. As newborn babes desire, that word desire, it means to, this is an old saying, so I'll have to explain it, to dote upon. How many ever heard that saying, to dote upon? Dote upon means to give a lot of love or attention to. The word desire means to yearn, to intensely crave, to greatly long, to lust after. So this is talking about something strong, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
So it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere, the pure, unadulterated milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So, how many know we have to desire God's word, right? That's how we're going to grow thereby. Amen? And see, there's a lot of times as a pastor, you know, I've just come to the realization that, you know, you try to help people the best you can. But sometimes they just got to grow out of the place where they're at. They've got to feed right on the word until they grow enough. Aren't you glad you finally grew up? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we've got great grandkids now. We've got one that's like 5 months old, 6 months old. But they grow, don't they? Because they keep feeding. They stop growing, there's a problem. That's the way it is spiritually. If you want to grow spiritually to where you're strong, you got to feed on the Word. Amen. Amen. Well, I come to church. See, it's got to be more than just that, because you're only at church once or twice a week. So it has to be deeper than that. You got to grow. Just like you do as a baby, you know, you grow, you grow up. I, you know, when I was younger, my mother did things for me. As you get older, I mean, that's a good thing that you can do it on your own. Amen. So we have to understand, same way, if we're going to be disciples, we got to desire God's word. And here's what's happened. Many times I've counseled people and I give them scriptures. Maybe I recommend somebody they listen to, and they don't do it. Yeah. And it's like, what am I supposed to do now? Yeah. If you go to the doctor and he says, take these 3 times a day for 2 weeks, and you don't do it, you're not going to get any help. Yeah. Right? Right? See, people think sometimes pastor's got a magic wand that he hits you in the head with in his office, and it cures all your problems. Are you kidding? If I had that, I'd hit myself with it. I have to do it the same way you got to do. I got to grow. Yep. Amen. I got to grow. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you
free.
Hallelujah. And I've watched that over the years where maybe people get saved and they still got bondages in their life. They still got things that are holding them back. But if you can just get them to become a disciple, there's going to be a day they're going to be free.
Amen.
I can't tell you what day it's going to be, but I know it's going to come. Yeah. I've seen it too many times where people, you know, they come in. You know what I'm saying? One guy, he was talking about in his church. He said, well, actually, I think he was preaching at a church. He was actually ministering at a church. And he said, this lady gave, she just got saved. She gave her testimony, you know. She was so excited. So he said, I'm having her give her testimony. And every other word's a cuss word. She said, all the Christians are going, she just got saved. He said, she looked at me and said, am I saying something wrong? He said, no, you're doing fine. He said, the next year I came to that preach at that church, that lady met me and said, I am so sorry. What happened? She became a disciple. She grew. There's Christians who've been saved for 20 years and still using those words.
Come on now.
Thank you for that, Holy Ghost. Calm down, everybody, please. I'm trying to preach here. Really? They don't think a thing about it. They don't think a thing about it. Why? Because they're not a disciple. I didn't say they weren't going to heaven. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying when I started to grow up, the Lord started dealing with me. He said, quit saying stuff like that. You know, I got saved. I got immediately delivered from drugs, alcohol, and, you know, even smoking cigarettes. And I'm not condemning anybody who smokes. I'm just telling you my story. I never touched it after I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I wasn't perfect yet. I was still saying things and doing things, treating people ways. I still had, even when I was preaching, I still had an edge about me. There were times Brother Eddie had to get on me. You know, he was the senior pastor. There were times he had to tell me, don't ever say that from the pulpit again. I didn't suck my thumb and cry and run off. I said, yes, sir. What'd I say? You know, it's like the guy that, you know, like one guy said, you know, his wife was getting on for cussing. And he went, what the blankety blank did I say? He didn't even know. And it was like this woman, she didn't know she was saying anything wrong. She was just excited about Jesus. But how many of you grow and you get set free from that?
Right.
Well, why does it matter if I curse or not? Why does it matter? Because God doesn't damn anything. That's cursing. That brings curses on people. We speak blessing out of our mouth. The Bible said, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. The Lord dealt me. So, you know, I've been saved long. God, quit calling people bucket heads and stuff like that. Quit saying stuff like that to people. I'd even preach and say, hey, believe it or die, what's wrong with you? Which was true, but the way I was saying it, you know, the Lord had to correct that and say. And sometimes Brother Eddie had to jump in and say, hey, don't say that. He made me call and apologize to somebody one time. Try that on. Most people would quit. You know what I'm saying? Most people are too big of babies. They couldn't handle that kind of correction. But he said, you call him and you apologize. Well, all right. Sorry. Like to tell you I won't do it again, but don't know I've grown that far yet. Oh, yeah, I remember that. What happened? You become a disciple. And as long as you're a disciple, how many know you're going to continue learning from the master? He's going to continue fine-tuning. We better close. Let's go to Luke 14. He's going to always be fine-tuning you. And people that are open for that are hungry for that, they're the ones that's going to be free in their life. Yeah. Hallelujah. They're going to have freedom in their mind, freedom in their body, freedom in their spirit, just freedom in their all areas of their life. Look at this, Luke 14, because this is where it really gets strong. You think I'm strong? You ought to read Jesus' words. They're so strong they turn red. Luke 14. Let's go here to verse. I'm going to read about 10 verses and we'll close this morning. Verse 25, it says, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, friends, God loves you. And your best life is right ahead. Is that what he said? He didn't say that. He knew nothing about seeker-friendly preaching. He said, if any man come to me, now listen to this, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what on earth did he mean by that? Did he mean hate like what we think hate? Well, we know that's not true because the Bible says if we're born again, we've passed from hate to love. What is it? This word hate, he used a strong word to get their attention. I'm sure it did. It just got most of your all attention because I think somebody never read that verse before. But what did he use that for? Well, that word hate means to love less. That's what it means. It also is a comparison. Our comparison of our love to God compared to anybody else ought to make our love like anybody else look like hate because our love is so strong for God. You can all be quiet if you want to, but I didn't write this. This is in your Bible. Right here. Come on, are y'all with me this morning? I mean, this is strong this morning for Mother's Day, but this is in your Bible. He's not talking about hate, like we think hate. But he's simply saying, you got to love them less. They can't mean more to you than me. Right. Your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, yea, and your own life. Yeah. If you like any of those more than you do me, you can't be my disciple. Yeah. You can't be. He didn't say you wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. I'm not the judge. You maybe could be a believer, but you can't be a disciple. He's got to come first. Yeah. Are y'all with me? See, I've even heard people say, no, you know, you need to put your family before this. And no, you need to put God first. You need to take care of your family just like the Bible tells you to. But you put God first. I preached with a man, and I'm not judging him. I'm just telling you what the facts. I preached with a man years ago. Well, a fine Bible teacher. We kind of, just through ministry things, we kind of went our separate ways. No falling out or anything like that. But, you know, he's just doing one thing, I'm doing another. I went a separate way and went in the same area he's at. I asked somebody, I said, what about him? What's he doing now? They said, oh, man. Said he stepped out of the ministry and said he wouldn't come back until he got his family raised, all his kids raised. I mean, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, if any man forsakes house, father, mother, children, lands, for my sake and the gospel's, he'll receive 100-fold in this life. He doesn't mean don't do your duties, but he's just saying you don't put anything before God. Now, I know there's preachers that teach different, but they don't have Bible on it. I got scripture on it. All right, I'm just making a point. So it doesn't mean you neglect them. Yes, there are ministers that just neglect their family, don't take care of them, all concerned about the ministry. That's wrong. You need to take care of them. But you can do both. God will help you do both. But if you're a traveling ministry, that doesn't mean you can't stay home. You got to go. So he said, I'll go back into ministry when I get my kids raised. Here we are. His kids are raised. They're probably in their 30s or 40s. He's never been back into ministry. Probably never will be. Because he put something else first. Is this too strong for you? I'm not judging him, but I'm just simply saying you can see the fruit, what happened to his life. He's not even in the ministry today. And he was a fantastic Bible teacher. All right, look at this. Let's read on. Come on, y'all. Everybody say, I love the word.
I love the word.
All right, see, there you go. You got to love that word, right? Can't just. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. One place he said he got to bear his cross daily. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, he's not able to finish it, and all begin to mock. So you need to. He's saying you need to count the cost. Can I do this? Can I complete this? Or what king go to war against another king and setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. So he needs to, the king needs to consider it. Can I win this battle? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. Listen to this. Here's the point. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. What is Jesus saying? He's saying you need to consider it. If you're going to be my disciple, what it requires. You got to lay everything down. Does that mean you won't have a family? You won't have, that is not what he's saying. He's just simply saying he comes first. He comes first. Are you with me?
Yes.
He comes first. My wife's always been on board with me in the ministry. Always. Matter of fact, great help. But had she said, I'm not on board and I'm not going to help you, I still got to go do it because I'm called.
Right.
Right? I can't say, well, Lord, my wife's not on, she's not in favor of me preaching. So, you know, whenever she goes to heaven, you know, I'll start. I mean, that's not going to fly, right? No, I got to do what I got to do because God called me to do it. I'm not preaching to you anything that Jesus didn't just say there, did I?
No.
He said, you got to count the cost. You got to make sure. Amen.
Right.
You want to be my disciple, you got to forsake it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You got to be willing to lay it all down. Right? I come first. Doesn't mean we don't have other things in our life. Obviously, God is the one who ordained the family and all that, marriage and all that, and you got your part to do there, but you don't let anybody or anything stand in the way of your relationship with God.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I'd serve the Lord, but my husband won't. You better serve the Lord anyway. I'd serve the Lord, but my wife won't. Now, you better serve the Lord anyway. You better just do what he said do. Amen?
Yep.
So, you got to ask yourself, strong question this morning, are you a disciple? Amen.
Yeah.
Are you a disciple? If you're not, you can change that. You can be a disciple. As Jill comes up, I want you to think about that. Am I a disciple? Am I a believer? That's great. Glad you are. You need to be. You got to be a believer before anything. But how many know you got to go beyond that and become a disciple? I'm a follower of Jesus. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.